Hello, 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 hello. Yes. Healthy and whole marriages family. We're so glad to have this opportunity. As always, as people call it a platform, we are grateful that you guys are joining us on our marital journey and that you are willing to include us as a part of yours. If it's your first time seeing us, if it's your first time here, we are Seth and Damia Rolfe. And we're the faces behind Health and Whole Marriage Conferences Incorporated. We are so glad to just have the opportunity to chat with you guys from our perspective. And before we proceed, we will start as we do everything else, and that's with prayer.
God, we thank you. We praise you. We bless your name for, again, another opportunity to come before your presence. God, we ask that you will be with us tonight as we just embark on another conversation with your people. Bless us. We welcome you into the room. Have your way, Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name. Thank God, amen.
Amen. So, you guys, just thank you once again. Some people like to wait around for people, but we trust that you guys will be here. And if you're not able to be here, you will get a chance to check out the video. If you do, like, share, follow, just stay in touch, because what we endeavor to do is to encourage healthy and whole marriages through our conferences, through monthly motivational sessions, through what this is on tonight, which is our healthy and whole, healthy and whole marriage conversation, or our little chat that we have once a month on the third Thursday of each month. So tonight's topic, oh, and I guess I should tell you where we are, right? Healthyandwholemarriages.com, Facebook, Healthy and Whole Marriages, and here, of course, on Instagram, the HW marriage, excuse me.
Yes.
So our topic on tonight is physical attraction, maintaining physical attraction. How to do that? Do you do that? Is that your responsibility? How to maintain that after several years of marriage? Is it worth it? What to do? All those types of questions. So this should be an interesting topic. And it actually came about from seeing a post. And maybe we'll try to share that at some point in time. I'll try to find it and share it. There was a post from a gentleman speaking about maintaining that physical attraction through touch and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about it, because what I've come across or come to learn from some single people talking in passing is that they're kind of concerned about how you maintain being physically attractive to someone, one someone, for several years or for the rest of your life, right? And just some other marriages, some people are actually not happy in their marriage, or they're getting divorces because their spouse isn't keeping up with themselves. They're not maintaining what they once were when the couple first met, or when the couple first got married. So this is, it may seem like a vain topic, it may seem insignificant, but it's very important to a lot of people. And we hope to delve into it from our perspective personally, practically, and from a biblical perspective. So I will start with you and see if you have a particular view on it just off the top of your head.
I would say it's important to keep ourselves, and I guess I can just start with us. Damien and I, we've been together now almost 26 years, and we met each other in high school, and time happens in between 26 years, and it's important that you continue to focus on who you all are, what the relationship is becoming, and definitely continue to focus on your body, your mind, all of those things. I believe the most important part of it is that, and I just want to jump straight to a scripture real quick. 1 Corinthians 3:13, it says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And the reason that I want to start there, because I believe the most important part when you're talking about relationship, the reason that your spouse could become unattractive to you is you have a knockout drag out. And once you get into those moments where you are frustrated with one another, if you allow the adversary to put a wedge in between the two of you all, it doesn't matter how attractive your husband or your wife was. Once that wedge is in between, because you allow those grievances to grow, unattractiveness begins to set in. And once that sets in, the adversary knows exactly what we like. And he will begin to show us those things in the midst of those frustration points.
Okay. Yeah, you did jump right in. I think, so would you have just naturally come up with a scripture?
I would, because I think the important part of it is it's all about grievance. It's all about how you treat one another. It's all about communication. And if you don't say something, it's like at the airport. If you see something, say something. You have to do that in your relationship. And if you don't say anything, if you allow those moments to pass, it becomes something more than what it is. So it's important that you get it in, the thought, the processing of, this is what I have a problem with. And so you can deal with that. Because there was some attraction that happened when you said, will you marry me? This person said yes. And then you spend all this money to walk down the aisle, and now we don't like each other, and it's 6 months later, or it's 10 years later, or it's 25 years later. Something happened. Are we communicating in the right way? So yes, I would lean on that scripture first. Actually, I would lean on a second one, because I think this is more important than that one, and that is 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Throughout that relationship, things are going to happen, and we must love one another.
Okay, so he jumped right into scripture. I'm going to take it from a different perspective to an extent. So first, of course, my first two go-tos are always prayer and communication. So sure. I'm glad you brought that up for sure, right? You should definitely communicate. But we know weight gain, physical attraction, those types of things are sensitive topics, especially when you don't approach them with sensitivity and with compassion. Somebody has gained a little weight and you're not approaching them in a compassionate way, like you're disgusted or you're turned off immediately instead of showing concern or speaking to them in a way that will be more encouraging and edifying to not only that person but your relationship.
Sure.
Then I think that goes much further and can go much further than just automatically, you know, expressing your disgust and your dismay with this particular, with your spouse's appearance. Now, to be real, and let's be real, when people start in a relationship, most of the time it starts off by physical attraction. So there's not generally
a guy that... to your mind.
There's not generally a guy really, that starts so off... I mean, you very yeah. well could have been attracted to my mm-hmm. mind. What I'm saying, but more often than not, which still validates my point, y'all aren't generally attracted to minds and thinking of scriptures immediately when you look at a female. You're looking at the physical, the physique itself, point blank period. That 1 Corinthians is not coming up. And I'm pretty sure if I know you, it didn't come up.
It didn't
like
come
in
up.
Any of the relationships yes. you've ever been in. It didn't come up off top
I'm
of your
talking
head.
Talking about with you, though.
Doubt it. So... separately, you didn't. First time I ever heard of a scripture, y'all. So anyway, we're gonna move from there, and from not moving from there, but I'm saying you have to start with prayer, right? You have to start with prayer because you have to show compassion. You cannot forget that this other person is your life partner. This other person is your teammate, and so you don't want to approach them in a way that will be hurtful instead of helpful. Excuse me, because we all know nagging and discouraging and putting someone down does not encourage them to do better. But I would say, practically speaking, first as well, is that you have to start with you. You can't maintain physical attraction if you're not taking care of yourself and find yourself attractive first, right? So for me to try to make him or keep him attracted to me, I'm going to need to find that confidence within. I'm going to need to be reminded and validated by and find worth and value in myself first. And so my scriptures to, I guess, encourage and start off there would be to just go towards the Bible to realize and recall who you are, who you are in Christ, to be reminded that you were fearfully and wonderfully made in Christ first, and be reminded of who you were and whose you are at the time that you met your spouse, at the onset, right? Because when you two met, more likely than not, you met under circumstances where you were kind of dressed to impress. You were kind of at the top of your game, in some shape, form, or fashion. Even if you were leaving the gym, right, you exuded some type of confidence that attracted that person to you. And if you lose those things, if you're not feeling confident, if you're not exuding confident, I mean, that's why good girls, right, like bad boys, because they exude some type of confidence, even if it comes off as bad and cockiness, he exudes some type of confidence that you don't normally find in other, I guess, nice guys, right? And that is attractive. And so if you're not maintaining that within yourself, you're going to start to lose the attraction that your spouse originally saw in you. So you have to do whatever you can do to build that back up for yourself. Find that validation within yourself first. So the scripture I referred to is fearfully and wonderfully made, Psalms 139:14. It's just, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. That's talking about you. He made me and he sees me as wonderful. If I see myself as wonderful, then when I get dressed, I'm going to look at myself in the mirror as wonderful. And then he's in turn going to look at me as wonderful. And if he's not looking at me as wonderful, then he's going to be like, well, she really feeling herself today. Let me see what's up. Because I'm exuding the confidence that's going to make him think twice about whatever you're not thinking in a positive sense with regards to me. And it ends off with, I know that full well. You have to know that within yourself for yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, also practically speaking, and then I'll let you jump back in. We're going to be honest. There are stigmas, right? There are stigmas and there are stereotypes about men versus women, especially married couples. Women can't lose themselves. Women can't become unkempt. Women can't get comfortable. Women can't gain weight. I mean, there's often some type of stigma attached to it where we just can't. And it bothers me in all actuality because I don't understand, I have never understood why that's so easily said about women. And we know it goes back to whatever foolishness back in the day, right? But it's not said about men. Why men can be so comfortable about letting themselves go and women have to maintain themselves. Now, we understand that men are physically attracted to women, but unfortunately, some person that put this stigma out in the air, in the arena, in the world, had to have been a man. I'm going to just say that, because why would you impress that a woman needs to maintain herself and believe that she can't be and shouldn't be physically attractive consistently to her husband as much as he's supposed to be to his wife? You can't fully invest and enjoy the full intimacy, sexual intimacy, physical intimacy that God, I believe, has for you if you're both not physically attracted to each other along with everything else, right? It just makes things better because, I mean, seriously, like, yeah, I don't think I need to go into details with you guys. So the point is, start off from my perspective, start off recognizing, realizing, remembering, recalling, affirming who you are first and maintaining that. So whether you fall within the guidelines and these parameters and these stigmas and stereotypes of what you're supposed to look like or not, when you exude confidence in how you are, who you are, what you look like, attraction is inevitable. It's like a neon sign, period.
You said it. I have nothing to add to it. I believe in the self-confidence aspect of it. I believe that's number one. I also feel that you have to talk about when you see things going in a different direction, that you Absolutely. Speak about it. And once you are able to openly, and we, of course, we have to bridle our tongues as we speak to our spouse, yes. and really forgive one another. But I think the important part of what happens a lot of times is that we allow each other to go in different directions in our relationship and we say nothing. And once we say nothing, yes, I have confidence in myself, but now I'm exuding this confidence outside of my home because I did not communicate effectively inside of the home. And that's why I believe that it's important to talk about it consistently. And it's important to continue to cultivate the relationship, continue to date each other, continue to have fun with one another, however that looks in your relationship space, whether that's, okay, now that we have children, let's play fun and games in the house, or let's continue to date. I believe that also brings about attraction when you're able to see each other in that light of what brought you all together the first time. That's my thought on it.
Right, absolutely. I have to delve back up and get the forgive. You keep referring back to that forgive part. What are we forgiving before we even have the conversation?
Listen, I believe that we put our best steps forward when we are first in our relationships. Right. Once we are married for a while, we begin to falter on what brought us together in the first place. Mm-hmm. And with that said, what happens most times is that we treat people outside of our homes better than we treat each other in the home. So there will be something, and there is something. There's something in our relationship today, last night, last week, whatever the case may be, that if we don't forgive first, we allow those things to fester. So there are problems that are waiting on marriages. There are frustrations that are waiting on marriages every single moment. And it's important to give each other the benefit of the doubt. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about forgive. Because when we don't forgive, we allow, and I keep going back to the adversary, but I believe that the adversary stands at the door waiting, harping on what in the world is she doing or what in the world is he doing, and allowing us to begin to dwell, because I believe whatever a person thinks, so is that individual. So if I'm thinking on the negative, although you may have kept yourself up, if we've just got into a tiff about we didn't go to dinner, or I didn't do something around the house, or whatever the case, or I didn't pick up the kids, or I was late coming home because I wanted to go get a haircut before I came home and I didn't tell you about it. We must first lean on forgive first to allow each other to speak without a referee or counselor. It's important to start there, because if you're not forgiving one another, the next step comes, I don't like you. I don't want to be around you. And then you start to figure out spaces of where can I not be when I'm in your presence. So I take longer to come home from work. I take the long way around when I go get gas, because I don't want to be in the same space because I'm upset with you. That's what I'm speaking about when I talk about
food. So I think before, kind of to coincide with that, if you will, I would say grace. I think we forget that a lot. In this particular element of physical attraction, if you see your spouse starting to, as we've already spoken about, praying and communicating, starting to kind of lose that attraction in your eyes, right? You need to pray. You need to not just pray about what to say to your spouse, but pray to see if it's something wrong with your eyesight, right? And that means that, and we'll go down the rabbit hole of how people approach women and wives in marriages, right? Your wife has had a child, and she's just not looking like she used to look for you prior to, and now you're not as interested as you once were. Pray about that, because you could be missing the beauty in that. You could be missing the beauty of who she is now. So the grace is in the fact that we're always changing. We're ever evolving. We're new creations, right? And we have to pray for a new creation mentally in our relationships as well. And even in this type of situation, like, we are not conformed to the ways of the world, the thought of the world, as it relates to marriage and as it relates to the physical attraction, if you will, to our spouses. Because if your wife has had a child, then you should be able to find something beautiful from that. You should be able to find something attractive from that. If she's not snapping back, as you're saying out in, you know, the media and all of that stuff, that's just not her thing. She has her own way of snapping back, and you have to find the beauty in that. But you also need to extend grace for the fact that she carried and created and incubated basically a life for 9 months, right? And things shifted and different things happened. And not just wives, you know, men go through certain things and we have weight challenges. We have medical issues where people gain weight due to medicines. And sometimes we become so insensitive, we forget to extend grace that this particular medical condition is the reason why our spouse no longer looks the way they did when we walked down the aisle. That grace is necessary because otherwise it's just, for lack of a better way of putting it, it's unfair and it disregards God's creation, that we're all fearfully and wonderfully made, that is your teammate, that this person is prayerfully that your relationship and your love for your spouse is not rooted in the physical, right? The foundation is not based on the physical. Not dismissing that it is important. It absolutely is important. But it can't all ride in there, because then till death do us part, we're gonna lose by way of gravity, by way of time. We're going to lose the elasticity in our skin, and there will be frown marks and smile marks and flabbiness under the arms, and sitting long times or long enough time, our stomachs are going to start to do certain things. All types of things are going to happen, right? Metabolism slows down. So we're not going to be as fit. And we know some people, you know, it's like 70 years old. Are you really 70? But still, there has to be grace in the midst of all of that. And I have more scriptures, but I'll stop and let you jump in.
That's why I said I was attracted to your mind. Because I believe that the important part when I talk about physical attraction, it belongs more than what I see. It's how I feel and how you make me feel. When I talk about when we started dating, you said things to me that I had never heard before. And to me, that part was attractive. So I wasn't thinking about the physical attraction of where we were at that particular moment. I was thinking about this lady at 17 has just blown my mind with what she said, because she's not interested in what I can do for her. She is interested in a platonic relationship at this moment, and it's a relationship that we can grow together. I had never heard that. So that was attractive for me. And when I look further, as life has brought us to this point, I remember deviating even from that, allowing you to express yourself in the way that should have been. And that attraction was hindered by me, because at some of those particular points where I just wanted to be right in the situation, or I didn't allow who you were to be healthy and whole, then that attraction began to wane, because I was interested in your mind, not knowing that I was actually taking that attractiveness away by not allowing you to express who you are, because I wanted the last word, or however the frustration or the argument would go. It's important that we find, and you stated this, that we find more than physical attraction. Yes, you want to keep yourself up, but I believe the most important part of that is that we must find health and wealth within one another, and the value that we bring to a relationship. And if we're able to bring value, yes, you may lose the 36 waist. Yes, you may lose the skin or elasticity in your skin, whatever those cases may be. But I will tell you, I've become more attracted to you and your thoughts and who you are as a woman today than I was when I was a kid back then. And the grace part of that is I've grown in our relationship in this way, is that my wife has been very close to the exact same size in her physical attractiveness, but she has grown as an individual. Now she's a mother, and now she is doing all these wonderful things. And to me, that part of it is now even more attractive than you were when you were a kid.
Y'all, it's going to be very outside of my normal character, but I won't do that. Anyway, thank you, kind sir. But seriously, there were a lot of things that you said, a lot of nuggets, and I'm just going to like jump in and attach a few scriptures.
One more thing. I want to say this one scripture too. Proverbs 27:9 says this, a sweet friendship refreshes the soul. Mm-hmm. When I think about our friendship, to me, that's attractive. When I think about who we are as kids and what we've grown to be in this time, that's attractive to me. It has done me well to be in our relationship because I've been able to take your value and the thoughts that you have given me to excel who I am as an individual. That's attractive to me. And it's so very, and I'm almost emotional about it when I think about who you are today, because you've always known what you've wanted to do in life. And you've always accomplished every single aspect of it. To me, again, that part was attractive. When you are assertive in your relationship and you're making demands on, okay, you need to lose this weight or you need to do this, to me, that part can then take away from who and what the relationship has become. Because that's the authentic relationship that we must have in order for us to continue to grow. Life happens. And we have to see that.
Agreed. What I thought about as well when you were talking is, as Paul said, when I was a child, I thought of a child, sure. I spake as a child. That's what it made me think of when you first get married, yeah. And it's in the younger years. You are still in that childlike phase, right?
Yeah.
And so you should kind of think beyond and go beyond those. You hopefully have matured beyond that in seeing beauty and physical attraction, right. Beyond. Absolutely. Or attraction beyond just the physical, okay? Yes, we all are encouraged by and boosted by the physical. And we all need that from time to time. There's without question.
Sure.
But you have to mature, hopefully, beyond that. And if you're not able to mature beyond that, you miss out on a lot of other beautiful nuggets that you can gain from having a marital partner, a life partner, for this particular journey. My body belongs to my spouse. Let's just get in depth with some of those things as well. That comes from, there are two scriptures that come to mind for me regarding that. Song of Songs. Solomon, they call it that too. My beloved is mine and I am his. He browses among the lilies. 2:16. 1 Corinthians 7:4. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. If we keep those things in mind, we are going to first take care of ourselves, maintain ourselves, because we have a vessel that we can't really be used well with if we're not keeping it up. If we're not maintaining our vessels, we're supposed to consider our bodies as temples. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. We have a temple that we're supposed to take care of first. And we're supposed to take care of it for God's glory. Your spouse can then easily, I believe, find attractiveness in that because you're maintaining it. You're recognizing and respecting the vessel that God has given you. Maintaining so that you can be healthy and whole, whatever that looks like for you, not for someone else, whatever that looks like for you. And then remembering that your body belongs to your spouse and your spouse's body belongs to yours. If that mentality takes place, not in the abusive mindset, but okay, I feel good. Now maybe I'll go that extra mile for my spouse. Maybe when we go out, I'm going to put on this particular color. Or I'm going to put on this particular dress that hugs in certain places, or cologne or perfume, things of that nature, where you're boosting what you two have. That's the way, or an additional way, of edifying your relationship and making sure that you remind your spouse that I recognize what you're attracted to and I respect what you're attracted to. And I'm going to not only recognize that I'm all of it, enough, everything, worthy and all of these things, but I am enough for you as well. That I am going to accentuate the things that you find attractive about me as well. So if we approach those in that biblical sense, in the positive biblical sense that I believe it was intended as opposed to how some people have used it to their advantage in a very negative context and become abusive, we will find the beauty in consistently seeing our spouses as physically attractive.
Sure.
Maintaining who we are first. So I guess those are kind of like tips, right? Go back. Maintain who you are first. Remembering whose you are and who you are. Praying, communicating with grace, seasoning your words with salt, being gracious to your spouse, and acknowledging that life brings about changes and embracing those changes. We cannot look the same all the days of our lives. They're just, life doesn't warrant that, right? And then just remembering that I'm not necessarily my own. I'm not my own. I belong to God. My body is a vessel. And then I'm also supposed to take care of that vessel for me, for His glory, and then for the benefit of your spouse as well. Think of it this way. You're a gift. You are. We're all a gift here on earth in this world. When you become married, you're a gift to your spouse on loan from God. And we have to acknowledge that and appreciate that and take care of the gift that is on loan, right? Take care of that gift because we have to report back what we did with that particular gift, like a talent that He has given to us. You can also see it in this way. When someone serves you food, presentation is everything. All the days of your life with your spouse, presentation is everything and should be everything. You can't be on your toes unrealistically every second of every minute of the day. You're doing laundry, you're under the car, working on the car, in the yard, things of that nature. He's not going to be walking around with cologne on. I'm not going to be in a dress and some high heels like we see in those old 50s, 30s, and you know, kind of era. It's just not realistic, right? It's not practical even nowadays. But the point of the matter is that present yourself. Make sure you're on your toes as much as you can be. When it's practical, when it's realistic. Sometimes we are tired. Sometimes we are exhausted. But sometimes you're not. And when you're not, just step a little bit further than the sweatsuit. Step a little further than the plain white t-shirt. Step a little further into whatever is attractive for your spouse. Here's a personal, and I'll stop and let you jump in. I am cold nature. I cannot stand to be cold. I'm miserable when I'm cold. I don't want to talk. Nothing just get me warm completely. Just a whole different person. When we were our early years of marriage, that was something that turned him off about me. And it turned him off about me in the sense of I was always in layers, long sleeves and layers, long pants and layers, because I don't like to be cold. Well, after a while, he was like, okay, do I have to see you like this all the time? Like, there's nothing fitted. Like, you always have on layers instead of just maybe some tights or some shorts or something like that. It's just, and then we got to go through all these layers to even get to become intimate. It's like, look, sir, I'm cold. So you either need to up the ante in the warmth in the house so that I will put on less clothes, or I'm going to keep on these layers and then we got to figure something else out when the time comes. We met in the middle because that is what's physically attractive to him. I found a way to still be cute and comfortable and warm in the house. Maybe short shorts with longer socks and some long sleeves or whatever the case may be. You have to do what works best for you and for your relationship and the edification of your relationship to maintain the physical attractiveness in your relationship and to maintain the relationship as a whole. Here we are 15 plus years in, and I still dress that way because now it has become comfortable for me and I'm still warm, and for him,
I'm still satisfied.
So it works out in that respect. Did you want to add something else?
No. Okay. I think you're doing great.
So presentation is everything. Y'all know I always have notes and then I'm jotting stuff along the way. And I think I said everything. When we look good, when we feel good,
yeah,
we look good. It's like when you're going for an interview.
When you look good, you feel good.
Yes. Sorry if I said it backwards. So it's like when we go for an interview, right? You put
of
on
course.
Your best. When you go on your first date, you put on your best. You put your best foot forward. And if you're looking good, you're going to strut a little differently. There's going to be a different type of swag. Your head is going to be up. Your chest is out. Whatever the case may be. Because you are feeling good. You're looking good. You're going to feel good. And you're going to exude the confidence. We have to maintain that in our marriages. We have to maintain that for our spouses, for ourselves.
We do.
We have to remain physically healthy and attractive. That is taking care of your vessel. Don't feed it junk all the time. Don't blame it on, you know, having had a child or you can't make your way to the gym or whatever. If it's possible, make it happen. But extend grace. There are occasions where people just aren't able. So I've seen couples where they've said, okay, babe, I know you're not feeling this or any other. Let's start off small. Let's just go walking around the block until you can build up the energy, build up the confidence. You're responsible for your spouse just as much as they're responsible for themselves. And so if you feel and see that your spouse is having a hard time in certain areas, encourage them to do more. Encourage them to do better. It's ultimately to benefit you two as a team. Before we got married, we exercised a lot. Yeah, a lot together. Met at the gym on a regular schedule. Then careers happen. And then time. And then career, children. Things happen. But whatever you can do to maintain that relationship, to edify it, make it happen. I think I've touched on everything, guys. And I think, hopefully, I'll say that we have somehow encouraged and enlightened you with biblical, practical, and personal perspectives in this particular arena. Praying that you guys maintain a healthy and whole lifestyle for yourself first. Mm-hmm. Taking care of that vessel for the glory of God, for your spouse, for your marriage, because we want your marriages to win. And we pray that you guys are healthy and whole, ultimately, individually and as a couple. That's all we have at this time. If there's something else from you, any questions or anything. Someone said they understand what you said because they've been there and have just that. Thank you for chiming in with that. It can get a little rough sometimes with the physical attraction. I've even seen people that, you know, like the nagging. They feel like after a while, I'm just going to be negative, and somehow that's going to inspire their spouse to start working out or something. And needless to say, it didn't do that at all. So we pray the best for you guys. We pray that you find the correct words. If the words you've been using thus far have not been encouraging to your spouse, have not been edifying to your spouse, and that God will allow you to extend grace and compassion to your spouse so that together you guys can grow and have the healthy and whole marriage that I'm sure you desire and that God intended for you to have.
Amen. Father God, we just thank you for this time together, oh God. We pray that we as couples will find not only physical attraction, but attraction to each other in more ways than one, oh God. That we will focus on growing our relationship in more ways than one. So we won't become hung up and allow the adversary to separate us or to divide us simply because weight has gained or skin is sagging or whatever happens in the physical attraction, oh God. We pray against the enemy that comes to break down marriages, to cause separation, cause divorce. God, we pray that tonight will be a new and fresh look at one another so that we can move in a direction of not only growth, oh God, but to glorify you, because this is your example to the world that marriage is a beautiful thing. God, we just thank you and we praise you for this opportunity. We pray over every couple that will see and hear this particular message, oh God. We pray that they are encouraged to do and be more for one another. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen.
Amen. Wait, before you say that, one last thing. Don't talk about yourself. I just heard that like while praying. Do not talk about yourself. By putting yourself down, you're drawing attention to something that your spouse didn't even see as a negative thing. That's and good. Now what are they doing? Focusing on the negative. Focusing on something that if it's not attractive to you, why? Well, you know what? Why is it attractive to me? Yeah. Now that's another thing that you shouldn't even been worrying about. Don't talk about yourself. You're talking about your spouse's spouse. Like me putting myself down, I'm talking about my husband's wife. Like, that's rude. Don't do it. Don't talk about yourself like that. Don't talk about God's child like that. You're fearfully, wonderfully made, and you are beautiful. Wait, let me make sure. Wonderful, a wonderful work. Okay, so avoid that at all costs. Highlight the other areas, and you focus on maintaining and improving those areas that you may deem to be negative, so that God can give you grace and show you grace to look at yourself differently. Excuse me, and then you can make those things even better for your spouse as well. So in the meantime,
be healthy,
be whole, be blessed is our prayer
for each of you all.
Thank you.
Have a great night.